sad heart is yearning to hear again a songbird's sweet melodious tone.
Whoa. Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about rock and roll music from such sources as The News and Observer, The Week Magazine, The Independent, New York Times, Rolling Stone, BGO Records, ClassicBands.com, and Entertainment Weekly.
All along the levee where the geese into the countryside have flown. Would you leave me?
This opening, Moonlight, brought to us by Bob Dylan. We'll be hearing more about and from Bob Dylan later on in today's program, and he'll close it out as well. But first, these transitions.
Cross the river, dear. You no need to linger here. I know the kinds of things you like. The clouds are turning crimson. The leaves fall from the...
Our transitions come to us once again from BGORecords.com, from their series Today in Rock History. And today is the weekend of January 8 and January 9, 2011. What were the number one hits this weekend? Well, back in 1961, you may remember, it was Burt Kampfert, Wonderland by Night. And back in 1966, 5 years later, it was the Beatles with We Can Work It Out. If you were born on January 8th, you share a B-Day with the King. Elvis Presley was born on that day, January 8th, back in 1935. And David Bowie, born on January 8th, 1947. And R. Kelly, born on January 8th, 1969. And if you were born on January 9th, you share a birthday with Les Paul. He was born on January 9th, 1915. Joan Baez, January 9, 1941, Jimmy Page, 1945 on January 9th, and Dave Matthews, 1968 on that day, January 9. Miscellany in rock history this weekend, well, back in 1964, it was the Ronettes hitting the charts with Baby I Love You. And back in 1965, a year later this weekend, it was the Zombies hitting the chart with Tell Her No. 45 years ago this weekend, the final episode of Shindig is broadcast on ABC TV, starring the Kinks and the Who. And back in 1971 this weekend, it was Judy Collins entering the top 40 with Amazing Grace. Back in 1973, 2 years later this weekend, it was Carly Simon awarded a gold record for You're So Vain. That same year this weekend, the Rolling Stones' plans for a Far Eastern tour are disrupted, with Mick Jagger is refused a Japanese visa on account of a 1969 drug bust. Jagger is quoted as saying, "I don't take drugs, I don't approve of drugs, and I don't approve of people taking drugs, unless they're very careful." Back in 1975 this weekend, 3 Led Zeppelin concerts at New York's Madison Square Garden, 60,000 tickets total, sell out in a record 4 hours. And back in 1979 this weekend, it was ABBA, Bee Gees, Rod Stewart, Earth, Wind & Fire playing a UNICEF benefit concert called A Gift of Song in New York. The show raises about $500,000. And now, our trivia questions. Our trivia questions today come to us from www.funtrivia.com. Question number one, who originally sang the song called Hurricane? That's a song dedicated to the boxer Reuben Carter. Hint, this was written as a civil rights protest song back in 1975. Multiple choice here. Was it A, Pee Wee Herman, B, Bob Dylan, C, Elvis Presley, or D, Madonna? And question number two, name at least one of the 5 members of the rock band The Traveling Wilburys. Hint here, this group was comprised of an all-star cast that consisted of 5 famous rock stars, 2 of whom have since passed away. And here is a snippet from one of their songs called The Wilbury Twist.
We'll be right back. hand on your head.
Hand on your head.
Put your foot in the air.
Foot in the air.
And you hop around the room.
Hop around the room.
In your underwear.
In your underwear.
There ain't never been nothing quite like this. Come on, baby, it's the Wilbridge Twist.
Name one of the five superstars from this group, the Traveling Wilburys. The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. In local rock news, we see this article published in the News Observer on the 26th of November, 2010. After years in legal limbo, the Connells catalog is back in circulation. So now it's possible to fire up iTunes and purchase Boylan Heights, Fun and Games, and the rest of the venerable Raleigh Band's recorded works. But heck, what you really want to do right now is go to a Connell's Hootenanny and hear their songs affectionately covered by their peers from the local scene. That happens periodically and fairly recently as well at King's in Raleigh with Tonk, North Elementary, Soft Company, and Sarah Bell on the bill, plus the Connells themselves playing some covers. It was free, so it was a no-risk proposition all the way around. This next article was written by Christopher Morris and published in Daily Variety on the 22nd of December, 2010, entitled Music Biz Braces for Tempo Change. The U.S. music business closes 2010 in an atmosphere of continuing uncertainty and decline, as the events of the last 12 months evince more questions than answers about the industry's future. All four major music firms find themselves in transition as the year closes, but the longest shadow hangs over EMI Music. The article skips down. Album plunge. The latest round of musical chairs comes as recorded music sales continue a plunge that began back in 2004. Moving into the fourth quarter of 2010, album sales were down 13%, according to Nielsen SoundScan. The bottom fell out of the CD market years ago, but digital downloads, a growth market in recent years, began to stall in 2010. Piracy continues to plague the industry despite action like the court-ordered shutdown of LimeWire's peer-to-peer service in November, as torrent sites proliferate and a legal download of virtually any hit track is still just a mouse click away. Concerts wobble. The concert business, which boomed in 2009 despite the country's ongoing economic instability, was looked upon as the one area of the music sector that would be recession-proof in 2010. Within months of the formation of the new Live Nation Entertainment entity, the touring market collapsed as major treks by acts including U2, Christina Aguilera, and the Eagles were either postponed or scaled back. Year-end figures cited by Billboard's live music editor Ray Waddell tracked a 26% decline in North American concert grosses and a 12% decrease in attendance. Could anything be counted on as a sure thing in a business filled with disarray? Yes, if it had the word glee attached to it. Fox's top-rated musical comedy series proved the most reliable sales in 2010. On last week's domestic album chart, Glee titles took two slots in the top 10 and seven in the top 200. Two of those sets had been on the chart for more than a year. Article skips down. The end of 2010 is playing out like a rerun of 2009, as Susan Boyle's Christmas album, The Gift, dueled with Taylor Swift's Speak Now at the apex of the chart. Article skips down and ends with this. Rock is dead? Pop and its hyphenate relation, country pop, ruled the charts. There were no new rock acts to speak of with any significant sales. Television was the dominant medium for the exposure of new music, with a big assist from its internet-based relative, YouTube. And as it was before Elvis Presley and the Beatles took the stage, the professional songwriter, in a new millennium incarnation as songwriter-producer, dominated as a commercial force. This next article comes to us also from Daily Variety, this one from November 17, 2010, written by Steffi Nelson. In the age of Glee and Gossip Girl, TV is the new radio. Way back in 2005, when indie musicians appeared on a show like The OC, it was a boost for their career, but deadly for their credibility. For the network, landing a cool new band was considered a coup, but the artist risked being branded a sellout. Today, the tables have turned. 5 years ago, we were still at the point where we were begging bands to be a part of television. You had to go through all these approval processes and make it worth their while, says Don Soler, VP of TV Music at ABC. But in the last 4 years, television has really become the new radio. It is absolutely the way people are discovering new music. What's changed? Leonard Richardson, VP of Music at the CW, points to the increasing difficulty of breaking new artists with the advent of online marketing. There's so much clutter out there, he observes, it's really hard to break through. Compared to such unfiltered platforms as YouTube, which didn't even launch until 2005, TV shows with their curated mix of songs within the trusted framework of a familiar narrative are a reliable outlet for new music. As Richardson sees it, the artists have finally realized this is a good thing. Article skips down and ends with this. Those are some of the types of artists who would not necessarily have participated in things like that in the past, Richardson notes. Of course, when it comes to a music-friendly show like Gossip Girl, there are also coveted opportunities for artists to appear inside the show, as Lady Gaga did performing Bad Romance just before the single dropped. Gaga referred to the move as a performance art, but no doubt her label saw it differently. Every time we promoted the episode, says Richardson, they were spins. This is Lady Gaga's new single. Lady Gaga. So what do you know about today's artist, Bob Dylan? Well, according to Stephen Thomas Erlewine from www.lyricstreak.com, downloaded on the 30th of December 2010, we see this bio. Bob Dylan's influence on popular music is incalculable. As a songwriter, he pioneered several different schools of pop songwriting, from confessional singer-songwriter to winding hallucinatory stream-of-consciousness narratives. As a vocalist, he broke down the notion that a singer must have a conventionally good voice in order to perform, thereby redefining the vocalist's role in popular music. As a musician, he sparked several genres of pop music, including electrified folk rock and country rock, and that just touches on the tip of his achievements. Dylan's force was evident during his height of popularity in the 60s. The Beatles' shift towards introspective songwriting in the mid-60s never would have happened without him. But his influence echoed throughout several subsequent generations, as many of his songs became popular standards and his best albums became undisputed classics of the rock and roll canon. Dylan's influence throughout folk music was equally powerful, and he marks a pivotal turning point in its 20th century evolution, signifying when the genre moved away from traditional songs and toward personal songwriting. Even when his sales declined in the 80s and 90s, Dylan's presence rarely lagged, and his commercial revival in the 2000s proved his staying power. For a figure of such substantial influence, Dylan came from humble beginnings. Born in Duluth, Minnesota, Bob Dylan, born Robert Allen Zimmerman on May 24, 1941, was raised in Hibbing, Minnesota from the age of six. As a child, he learned how to play guitar and harmonica, forming a rock and roll band called the Golden Chords when he was in high school. Following his graduation in 1959, he began studying art at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. While at college, he began performing folk songs at coffee houses under the name Bob Dylan, taking his last name from the poet Dylan Thomas. Already inspired by Hank Williams and Woody Guthrie, Dylan began listening to blues while at college, and the genre wove its way into his music. He spent the summer of 1960 in Denver, where he met bluesman Jesse Fuller, the inspiration behind the songwriter's signature harmonica rack and guitar. By the time he returned to Minneapolis in the fall, he had grown substantially as a performer and was determined to become a professional musician. Dylan made his way to New York City in January of 61, immediately making a substantial impression on the folk community of Greenwich Village. He began visiting his idol Guthrie in the hospital, where he was slowly dying from Huntington's chorea. Dylan also began performing in coffee houses, and his rough charisma won him a significant following. The article skips down.
You've been with the professors and they've all liked your looks. With great lawyers you have discussed lepers and crooks. You've been through all of F. Scott Fitzgerald's books. You're very well read, it's well known. But something is happening here and you don't know what it is.
Comprised entirely of original songs, the freewheeling Bob Dylan album made a huge impact in the U.S. folk community, and many performers began covering songs from the album. Of these, the most significant were Peter, Paul, and Mary, who made Blowing in the Wind into a huge pop hit in the summer of 1963, and thereby made Bob Dylan into a recognizable household name. On the strength of Peter, Paul, and Mary's cover, and his opening gigs for popular folky Joan Baez, Freewheeling became a hit in the fall of 1963, climbing to number 23 on the charts. By that point, Baez and Dylan had become romantically involved, and she was beginning to record his songs frequently. Dylan was writing just as fast. While Bringing It All Back Home in March of 65 still had a side of acoustic material, it made clear that Dylan had turned his back on folk music. For the folk audience, the true breaking point arrived a few months after the album's release when he played the Newport Folk Festival supported by the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. The audience greeted him with vicious derision, but he had already been accepted by the growing rock and roll community. Dylan made his breakthrough to the pop audience in the summer of 1965 when Like a Rolling Stone became a number two hit. Driven by a circular organ riff and a steady beat, the six-minute single broke the barrier of the three-minute pop single.
Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging.
Dylan became the subject of innumerable articles, and his lyrics became the subject of literary analyses across the U.S. and U.K. Well over 100 artists covered his songs between 64 and 66. The Byrds and the Turtles in particular had big hits with his compositions. Highway 61 Revisited, his first full-fledged rock and roll album, became a top 10 hit shortly after its summer 1965 release. Positively 4th Street and Rainy Day Woman number 12 and 35 became top 10 hits in the fall of 65 and spring of 66, respectively. Following the May 66 release of the double album Blonde on Blonde, he had sold over 10 million records around the world. In late July 1966, he was injured in a motorcycle accident outside of his home in Woodstock, New York, suffering injuries to his neck vertebrae and a concussion. Details of the accident remain elusive. He was reputedly in critical condition for a week and had amnesia, and some biographers have questioned its severity, but the event was a pivotal turning point in his career. After the accident, Dylan became a recluse, disappearing into his home in Woodstock and raising his family with his wife, Sarah.
Whatever colors you have in your mind, I show them to you, and you see them shine. Lay, 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 lay.
For several months, Dylan and the band recorded an enormous amount of material, ranging from old folk, country, and blues songs to newly written originals. The songs indicated that Dylan's songwriting had undergone a metamorphosis, becoming streamlined and more direct. Similarly, his music had changed, owing less to traditional rock and roll and demonstrating heavy country, blues, and traditional folk influences. While Dylan was in seclusion, rock and roll had become heavier and artier in the wake of the psychedelic revolution. When Dylan returned with John Wesley Harding in December of 67, its quiet country ambiance was a surprise to the general public, but it was a significant hit, peaking at number 2 in the U.S. and number 1 in the U.K. Furthermore, the record arguably became the first significant country rock record to be released, setting the stage for efforts by the Byrds and the Flying Burrito Brothers later in 1969. Dylan followed his country inclinations on his next album, 1969's Nashville Skyline, which was recorded in Nashville with several of the country industry's top session men. While the album was a hit, spawning the top 10 single, Lay Lady Lay, which is playing in the background now, it was criticized in some quarters for uneven material.
Lay across my big brass bed.
During 1972, he began his acting career by playing Alias in Sam Peckinpah's Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, which was released in 73. He also wrote the soundtrack for the film, which featured Knocking on Heaven's Door, his biggest hit since Lay Lady Lay. The article skips down. For the remainder of the 90s, Dylan divided his time between live concerts, painting, and studio projects. He returned to recording in 1992 with Good As I've Been to You, an acoustic collection of traditional folk songs.
I go hungry, I go black and blue. I go crawling down the avenue. No, there's nothing that I wouldn't do to make you feel my.
Dylan released Time Out of Mind, his first album of original material in 7 years, in the fall of 97. Time Out of Mind received the strongest review in years and unexpectedly debuted in the top 10, eventually climbing to platinum certification. Such success sparked a revival of interest in Dylan, who appeared on the cover of Newsweek and began selling out concerts once again. Early in 98, Time Out of Mind received 3 Grammy Awards, Album of the Year, Best Contemporary Folk Album, and Best Male Rock Vocal. Another album of original material, Love and Theft, followed in 2001 and went gold. Dylan opted to self-produce his new studio album, Modern Times, which in 2006 topped the Billboard charts and went platinum in both America and the UK. He capped off the year 2009 with an old-fashioned holiday effort, Christmas in the Heart. Proceeds from that album were donated to various charities around the world. Although Dylan was heavily influenced by such artists as Woody Guthrie and Hank Williams, he in turn has had a significant impact on other musicians, from 60s icons including the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Beach Boys, and Paul Simon, to contemporary rap music. This is from his 1965 Subterranean Homesick Blues.
Maggie calls Fleetfoot, face full of black soot, talking at the heat, put plants in the bed, but the phone's tapped anyway. Maggie says the man, he says they must bust an early man, orders from the DA, look out, kid.
clean nose and wash the plain clothes. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
Bob Dylan. From IMDb.com, we see this trivia about Bob Dylan. Back in February of 64, Dylan and three friends drove south from New York to see some of the U.S. heartland. He insisted they stopped unannounced to see poet Carl Sandburg in North Carolina. To his lasting disappointment, Dylan left after some 10 minutes when he sadly realized he couldn't get the venerable man of letters to take him seriously as a fellow poet. Back on the 18th of January, 1988, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by Bruce Springsteen. He attended the University of Minnesota briefly after graduating high school, flunked out by non-participation, refusing to see a rabbit die in a science class and reading Kant instead of a required textbook, and cutting classes to frequent the local dinky town coffee houses. He then hitchhiked from Minnesota to New York after leaving college, paying his way by doing odd jobs and sleeping wherever he could find space, stopped at a courthouse along the way, and legally changed his name from Zimmerman to Dylan. When asked later if his name was spelled like Dylan Thomas, he answered, "No, like Bob Dylan." He turned down an offer to headline the legendary Woodstock Festival in 1969. Jimi Hendrix ultimately headlined, even though he had been living on a farm in Woodstock for many years at that point. He was voted the second greatest rock and roll artist of all time by Rolling Stone. He played piano for Bobby V in a makeup band booked for a show left vacant by the airplane crash death of Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper. And back in 1982, he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Personal quotes include the following: "Take care of all your memories, for you cannot relive them." On Johnny Cash in 2005, he said, "Johnny Cash was more like a religious figure to me. Just the fact that he'd sing one of my songs was unthinkable." And finally, Bob Dylan is quoted as saying, "A saint is a person who gives of himself totally and freely without strings. He is neither deaf nor blind, and yet he is both. He's the master of his own reality, the voice of simplicity. The trick is to stay away from mirror images. The only true mirrors are puddles of water." This final article comes to us from David Menconi in the News and Observer, published on the 2nd of January, 2011. Top albums. The record industry is still dying, and yet very fine albums keep coming out. Here are my 10 favorites from 2010, the year that was. Number 10, Alejandro Escovedo, Street Songs of Love. Number 9, The Love Language Libraries. Number 8, Sharon Van Etten, Epic. Number 7, Carolina Chocolate Drops, Genuine Negro Jig. Number 6, Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Number 5, Titus Andronicus, The Monitor. Number 4, Robert Plant, Band of Joy. Number 3, Doug Paisley, Constant Companion. Number 2, Laura Vyers, July Flame. And at number 1, Arcade Fire, The Suburbs. Supposedly, there aren't any consensus bands anymore. Everyone can agree are worthy, except for Arcade Fire, a Montreal band that's easy to love all the way around. Truly great. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Who originally sang Hurricane, a song dedicated to boxer Reuben Carter? That was, in fact, Bob Dylan. And question number 2, name at least one of the 5 members of the supergroup, the Traveling Wilburys. Actually, that included George Harrison of the Beatles, Jeff Lynne of ELO, Roy Orbison, Tom Petty, and Bob Dylan.
In the still of the night, in the world's ancient light, where wisdom grows up in strife.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.
We live and we die, we know not why.
but I'll be with you when the deal goes down. We eat and we drink, we feel.